Welcome to All the Therapies.
We're two clinicians who try out different therapeutic practices
so you can find the right type of healing for you.
I'm Abby Crum.
I'm Mona E. Shaker.
And if you're enjoying this podcast, please be sure to rate, review, and subscribe.
Thanks for joining us. Let's jump in now. Hey, Abs, how's it going?
Good. good. I've never said good that many times in a row.
It's almost like RuPaul's hello.
Right.
good. Awesome. So I cannot wait to hear about the, is it called the crystal therapy with Ekta?
I know. We're going to get into it. So she uses crystals as part of her therapy. Yeah.
Awesome.
And so yes, we'll definitely, I'm excited to tell you about it.
Yes. Can't wait to hear about it. But before we jump in, I have to ask you, what are you curious about this week?
I've really been curious about how pets process pain. I didn't realize that was going to be like that much alliteration. So, you know, I have a puppy that I got during the pandemic. Okay, I cannot stop with these peas.
Wow, you're on a roll.
And she got spayed. And so, you know, I had a dog growing up, but this feels like a whole new experience, like really being the caretaker of this puppy. And so I was like, what we know about trauma as therapists, like I basically dropped her off. She had her stomach cut open. You know what I mean? And like, there's no way to communicate this to her. If it was a child going into surgery, you know, you're going to go into surgery. Here's your special stuffed animal. You know, but you can't do that. You're just like, bye. And then it's just and we were trying it. We took her to the beach this weekend. So like, she's kind of like, oh, are we going to the beach? Or, oh, I'm getting my stomach cut open. You know what I mean? Like, she has no way to like prepare mentally, I don't think. So I guess it's just not knowing. I actually watched a TED talk about how the dog's brain is different than the human brain.
Oh, interesting.
Yeah. I've gotten so much more into like, how do dogs kind of like experience pain or trauma or, you know, things like that. And so it was all about getting a dog into an MRI. They had to like train a dog how to like, have you ever been in an MRI?
No. And it sounds like my nightmare because it's like claustrophobic, right?
It's not just claustrophobic. I almost started laughing when I was in it because it almost is such a unique form of torture where like, not only are you like in this tiny confined space, but out of nowhere, a random array of noises. It's like someone's trying to like mess with you, right? It's just like knock, knock, knock up here, like total silence. Knock, knock, knock down here. It's just like in huge and like right by your ears and you cannot move. Like, how is this the thing, right? So to get a dog to lie 100% still, I can't remember. I mean, there's something about the folds of the dog and like we have obviously like prefrontal cortex and, you know, but what was most interesting actually is like the training, just because I'm also going through training a dog, getting a dog to lay perfectly still in an MRI machine was just a fascinating process in itself. So I guess this started with, what did my puppy feel while being spayed? But then ended with, how do you get a dog to lie perfectly still in an MRI? There's a TED talk on it. So if you want to know, I won't explain it. It's a process.
Yeah, I'm sure. Wow, you're really getting into like Dogville. You're like dog mom.
This totally.
I have a whole really new quickly. World. I mean, you like rabbit holes. So I feel like this is like a really, you can go pretty deep with this rabbit hole.
Totally. Yes.
So for me, yeah. So we were, I've been listening to, so Oprah has a ton of podcasts. I don't even know how to explain it. I really think she just recorded like pre-recorded TV shows and episodes and then just putting them out on podcast form. So they're kind of older, but I'm a big fan of Oprah. So anyway, so she's interviewing Eckhart Tolle, which I think you're the one who actually introduced me to him back in our 20s. But they're talking about mindfulness, kind of how to get grounded, how to sort of see things in the present moment. And so, you know, one of the activities was going out into nature and then removing all labels. So instead of seeing, oh, there's a bird, there's a tree, you just kind of come in with like full curiosity, like, what is this being in front of me? And so she was talking about, you know, so if you want, you could go to a park and do this, or, you know, your garden, which in my case, my garden is the size of a park. And so I've just been obsessed with thinking about like what, I'm sure Oprah has a lot of different houses and like what on earth does her garden look like?
Well, she has this, like, when she does the TV version, she's in the Oaks. She'll say, like, oh, we're in my Oaks or something. And it's like, right, she has, like, a national park in, like, her.
Yeah. Sounds about right. Yeah, sounds about right. Yeah, so that's what I'm curious about.
Yeah. Okay, I know we have to jump into this episode, but I did, like, I was just listening to one of my favorite podcasts, Maintenance Phase, and they were talking about Oaks. And one of the things I learned is, yeah, like, really quickly, like, in the 80s, this show has been on for so long, but she bought out her show. And that, like, that was one of the smartest things she could have done. And that's where she made Harpo Studios. Anyways, it was just like, to have the foresight to do that, like, how many shows do you know are going to just, like, maybe they're hot at the moment, but, like, she was just like, yeah, this is going to be so big, I'm going to buy out my own studio, you know? So
I love that. I mean, talk about, yeah, believing in yourself and, like, investing in yourself.
Right.
Quite literally. That's awesome. Very cool. Awesome. So let's dive in. Let's start by setting the scene. So where were you? Who was there?
So this was one of my first in-person sessions, which is really nice and exciting. So I went to an actual therapy office and it was set up so nicely. It's funny because, like, the waiting room, you know, a lot of times you have multiple units and then there's a waiting room that you don't have much control over. So the waiting room is like the 80s, which I love. You know what I mean? Like, the waiting room has been untouched by time. But, like, then I went into Ekta's space and it was candles, pillows, like, huge comfy couch, incense. And I'm really, you know, I'm also big on just the environmental way that things affect you. And so being in person, having all these, like, things that I really enjoy was just, like, a really nice surprise. And then she had a big bowl of crystals. And so Ekta is a therapist, you know, she does traditional therapy, but she also works with crystals. And so part of the therapy is, like, involving crystals in it. And so I saw the big bowl of crystals on the table.
That's when you knew you've arrived home. So yeah, that was the setup. Okay, great. So yeah, how did you jump into it? Did she start by, like, giving you an introduction of what she's going to do?
Yeah, so she started by asking me, like, what I might want to, like, work on and what might be helpful and what's going on in my life. And so, yeah, I gave her an overview. And I definitely, like, I had just had bronchitis. You can probably hear a little bit. It's still, like, lingering. And so I have just been on, like, bed rest and, like, kind of coming off of that. And so that was, like, one of my first things too, is, like, one of the first days I was, like, kind of up and out. And so I was hoping for some kind of help with that. So yeah. And I didn't know how much talking there would be, but it was about, like, I'd say 10 minutes of her just getting a sense of what's been going on in my life. And just a digression into, like, my own experience with crystals. So obviously I'm sure people have all kinds of ideas about them. And, like, again, I go into most things with, like, open, but, like, skeptical too. Like, I'm not going to just, like, buy the beans just because, like, you say they work, you know? But so my own, like, history with crystals is, like, curious. I went to a class that involved crystals and a teacher, like, put them on us. So this was one of my first times ever being exposed to them. And she just says, just notice, I'm not going to tell you what the crystal is. I'm not going to tell you what it's good for. Just go into meditation and we'll talk at the end. So the whole class did that. And so she said, what did you notice at the end of the class? And I'm all like, I didn't notice anything, right? But then people started saying things that I had noticed. I just thought they were normal. Like, I remember somebody said, like, for whatever reason, my left leg, it started tingling more than my right. And I was like, oh, I just thought, like, right, my leg was, like, falling asleep or something, you know, like, some of the things that other people had said I had experienced, but I had really just been like, oh, nothing. That's, you know, just my body doing something. But it was weird that, like, other people in the class had experienced the exact same quote unquote nothing feelings. So she said, that's why I do the class this way, is that, like, I don't want you to already have an idea. Kind of what you were just saying about the labeling. Like, instead of just saying, oh, like, if she was like, oh, this is rose quartz and it helps, you know, then you're like, oh, okay, I feel my heart, you know, yeah, I did feel more loving after the crystal was near me. And so I will be more skeptical of that. But that was kind of really interesting. And she was explaining how crystals work with the body. So anyways, I'm very open to crystals. I don't know what the proof is, but it's totally important to me. Yeah.
Yeah. I have crystals too. I have a nice little collection. But I do go through this phase of like,
yes,
it works. And I'm like, what am I doing? Like, these are just like stones, you know, like, did I right buy the beans? Am I just like being fooled? And then I just keep remembering, because every time I hear someone like, because I think I've heard a lot of people like kind of talk shit about crystals. And that's when I get into that, like, oh, got it. I'm one of those people now. But then I remember, okay, just because the way our science is set up, like, because there's not proof. And I feel like there's this obsession with like the scientific method and getting proof in a way where we lose touch with like what our bodies are intuitively telling us about this thing, you know. And then that's like our obsession with like, you know, going to healers instead of like coming into our bodies and saying, what do I need right now? You know, it's all this like external, I need an expert to tell me what's exactly good for me.
Which is so like, can be so problematic. And, you know, because I work with intuitive eating, like that's all that too, you know, why do I need somebody else to tell me what I need to eat? Like I was born knowing that, right?
Yes.
And so there's just, I'm going to mess up the word, but I think it's Sabina Selassie has this word, I don't know the word, so I'm just going to acknowledge I don't know it. But it's about that, like, again, we discount indigenous ways of healing and, again, white supremacy and all these things. And this way of, like, right, saying, like, I know better than you and I'm the expert. And so all these things to say, I'm not going to go and tell somebody, like, oh, this is how you're going to heal your cancer or something. Like, you know, if someone wants to do that, that's totally up to them. But, like, I don't have enough proof to say, yes, I will heal you this way or this is, but, and then for myself personally, I'm open to if it feels good to me, and sometimes it is placebo, like fine, but I do think there's more to crystals than that. I really do actually, just in my experience, but it's hard to say what. Just so when I was going in, so some people might go in 100% skeptical. I was not 100% skeptical, but I also wasn't like, oh, here, this is going to like clear me of all maladies. So after we kind of talked and, you know, so she had me lie down, to get a like great opportunity to kind of like lie down. And, you know, she put on music, put a blanket over me and put particular crystals on particular spaces. And so I didn't ask what they were, you know, I just kind of went into meditation. And when I came out, you know, again, she asked me how I felt. And I will say, so during the meditation part, it was really hard for my mind to settle. So I try and just observe things again, neutrally. Like, it's almost like I was thinking of like episodes of shows I saw 10 years ago, like not even like, cause she was like asking, she's like, oh, where did your mind go? And I was like, it's a really random, like, it really doesn't feel relevant to anything. And like, maybe it was, but it was just like, my mind was super, super scattered. Like, it just felt like one of those days where it took a long time. And then towards the end, my mind finally like settled. And then I felt really tired, which she said is common, you know, because the idea is there is like energy kind of moving in the body. Yeah. So I started to feel really tired towards the end. So she told me to like, take it easy. And yeah, she told me kind of like why she had placed particular crystals and what they were. And yeah.
Oh, got it. So, okay. Just so I'm clear. So it was like 10 minutes of you just kind of talking about what's going on.
Yes.
And then you laying down, her putting a blanket on you and then putting crystals on particular parts of your body. You at this point don't know where and why. And
yeah. And it's like aligned on the, like, and that's pretty typical, like the chakra line. Mm-hmm. So it's forehead, throat, chest. And she was like, it's going to be a little uncomfortable because you're going to feel, and I did, like, you don't want to move because you feel like they're all going to fall off, you know? And I guess it wouldn't have been the end of the world if they did, but so it does force you. It's like the MRI machine again. You know what I mean? You kind of just have to like stay there. Yeah.
Totally. And did she tell you to like meditate on it, something in particular, or just like silently lay there?
Just silently lay there, observe kind of what's happening in the mind and in the body.
Okay. So then you're kind of scattered. You're going to like TV shows 10 years ago, which I'm gonna guess The Nanny, I don't know.
That's recent because I'm rewatching The Nanny, but this is like,
what?
I know this was not it, but it's just kind of because I'm like, I know it was not, but I'm like, want to say Seventh Heaven, but like something that random, like something that random that I have not watched in 10 years, even. The plot did not matter. I just,
just some sort of like, brain activity.
It was just scattered. It was just brain activity. This is just probably what happens to your brain. It's just like, that's it, just clearing out. Maybe it's just going to be me wondering about lots of TV episodes I've seen over time. Yeah.
Yeah. like leaving room for more.
That's the electricity in the brain. Like, it's just like, that's the unplugging. It's
totally
just, all of it comes together.
Yeah.
All makes sense.
But then towards the end, you said you were able to kind of get into a meditative
state. I felt more settled and then I started to feel really tired. Yeah.
And then tired. Okay. And I'm guessing, was this like a typical 50 minute session?
Yes. 50 minute session. So then we came out like, so I probably did 30 minutes in meditation and then we like talked 10 minutes in the beginning, 10 minutes at the end. And she had some like observations just based on her own. And she kind of said like, I'm not intuitive, but just, I'll just say what I kind of sense for whatever reason I sense it. And she was saying, so, you know, again, if you're familiar with chakras, I won't go through the whole spiel again. It's the same as crystals. Like, I think there's something to it. It's been around for a long time. I don't know if we can prove it, but so she was saying in my chakra system, in the like sacral chakra, which I have to say, like, is it sacral or the solar plexus? I always get those confused because they're both S's and they're close together. So whichever one's the creativity and the, I do think that's sacral because I often, through different things I've practiced, it's not the first time someone is focused on that chakra for me. I do tend to get the same messages. So I don't know if there's a convention and everyone's getting together to tell me to work on my sacral chakra. But, you know, like that is not the first time I've gotten that feedback. So she was talking about that. So just like giving myself time to be creative, time to rest, time to like, yeah, that's not unheard of as a as a message for me. So yeah. So, and again, but it's like hard to know, you know, I do believe people can maybe just have a intuition about things. And so she kind of talked about what she observed in me kind of like lying down, why she picked, again, the crystals that she picked for me. There was one, and I can't remember if it was my throat, but it was about maybe financial scarcity, which had probably come up because that's usually, again, on my mind in some way, even though I really am okay. It's just like, it's just growing up in a Jewish family and like, there's just always a lot of financial scarcity stuff. So it's kind of something that lives with me. So I must've mentioned something because she had said, I thought about doing fool's gold, which is pyrite, but I did malachite, which is another crystal that kind of helps with that thought process. So she just kind of chose based on what I had told her and kind of made some executive decisions, right?
Interesting. So, okay, based on sort of like what you brought in and based on maybe her own intuitive direction.
Yes.
Picking specific stones that will like release certain types of like anxieties perhaps or like blocks.
Sure.
Oh, as a way to like kind of open that up and kind of shed those things. Oh, interesting. Okay. Yes. Did you feel any effects in the moment? How are you feeling now? Like, was there any?
I think mostly the tiredness. And I remember like the minute I laid down, I was like, I need this so bad. You know what I mean? And it was just like, for me, like the value in the session was definitely like this, like lying down meditation. And again, just like anything, like this is pretty typical and like to use an object in meditation just to like help your focus. So, I mean, I really actually liked the feeling of being weighed down, you know, by the stones. Like, it's not like I had a big vision or like, oh, here, this like problem is solved in my life. And again, I think that's true of any of these practices. Like, you might not always know how the seed is going to unfold in your life. But for me, the real like value, if I'm like, okay, like that session really like was helpful in the sense of having someone there also while you're meditating. Like, there's just something about like, if you're at home, and this has just been my experience during the pandemic, so easy, like, oh, my phone rang, like, no one's going to know, I'm going to check it, you know, or like, I said I was going to do 20 minutes, but like, I think 15 is good. You know what I mean? Like, there's just so much more. So to actually be in a space and have somebody sitting there with you and really just be there, it felt really like needed for me for whatever reason, you know?
Yeah. Just being in the maybe space with somebody else, like community, and just having somebody a little bit more like just accountable. So you could do that deeper kind of meditation or the deeper work.
Yes. You know, so when we talked the 20 minutes we were talking, that's what you're doing in a typical therapy session. So it feels good just to talk out your problems, kind of realize things as you're talking, okay, I think I need this or maybe I am needing a little more rest or something like that. So again, like anything, I remember learning that Violet Oaklander, who's a famous child gestalt therapist, maybe if you've heard of Santre, she's big on that, but there's a lot of other cool things, but she would just with kids give them a horoscope, because it's less about, and I tell my clients this because my clients will say, do you believe in horoscopes? Or is it bad that I read my, or I did the Enneagram test. Like, what do you think of that? I do try and stay like neutral, because again, I think it's really everyone's own journey. But I do say, if you are reading it and you're like, that sounds like me, that's something. Right? Like, you're having that sense. And if you're like, that's not like me at all, you're still learning about yourself, right? So at the very base of anything, if you just read your horoscope just to see if that actually lines up with me or it doesn't, that is therapeutic just on its own. And so she was saying she would just do that to see if kids would be like, oh my gosh, like I am, you know, it says they're very like talkative. Like I am talkative, right? The fact that you light up at that is something. You know, and so, or if you're like, I'm not talking about it at all, this thing's crazy. Like that just means you know yourself in a way. And so I like to have things to bounce against, right? So as Ecto is telling me things, for me, like what she told me resonated. Again, I've been to practice, I try everything. If somebody tells me something, I'm like, that's not, like, that's not true for me. Like I'm open to maybe I'm resistant to it or something, but I look at these things as things to bounce up against, you know, and just say, does that line up for me? Does something feel like a yes internally for me, or does something feel like a no?
Right. No matter what, you're learning something about yourself and exactly. any experience, you know, whatever the takeaway.
Yes.
So what is your takeaway? What is your biggest takeaway from this experience?
I think for me, it is this idea that healing doesn't need to be talking the whole time.
Preach. Yes.
Yeah.
Yep.
So I think there's something really to doing healing practices. There's a healing practice, I'm sure we'll probably get to it, brain spotting. And I'm trained in brain spotting, and most of it is nonverbal. And there's something to that because, again, our executive functioning just gets in with a story. And oftentimes that story is distorted. So when we really go to the back of the brain, you know what I mean? These pre-verbal parts, that's where, like, when we talk about things being held in the body, a lot of this work, while I totally believe in talk therapy and that there's so much to be gained from it, there's not a lot of practices where there's less verbal. And I think there's a lot, and I'm a super verbal person, clearly. So there's a lot of healing for me, I think, in doing practices that are less verbal.
I love that. That's so important. Yeah. I don't think I've ever actually thought about it in those terms before. And I think that's really about, right, quieting the mind really. And like, again, yeah, getting into our bodies a bit more and being a bit more present. And again, intuitive with us. Like I'm a believer that we know exactly what we need. There's just so much distractions. It's hard for us to even like access that. So I love it. The power of sitting quietly with yourself. I love that. Yeah. And so anything good for people to know who are considering it?
Yeah, I think it's just like, if you're curious, and again, like I said, just go in and like, you can have your own experience and see what happens for you. I definitely don't think anything harmful is going to come from it. You know what I mean? So if it resonates for you and you have an experience that works for you, then great. You know, now you're exposed to that healing. And if it's just not your cup of tea, I mean, there are things that are evidence-based that are not my cup of tea. You know what I mean? So it's like, I definitely think if it's something that you're just, it's been on my mind and I've been thinking about it, I would go for it and try it. And I do like the idea of doing it with someone. So, you know, always look out for maybe people. I definitely, Ecta is a therapist. She, you know, I didn't feel like taken advantage of in any way where somebody's like, okay, now you have to get a 30-pack package or you have to drink my tincture to, you know, clear all these blockages, right? So I like the idea that I'm doing this with a therapist who is there if something comes up that's difficult that can like walk me through it. So that might be a good place to start. Sometimes that does help build trust. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. Awesome. Well, thanks so much for sharing. And I look forward to chatting with Ecta. I'm curious to see what she has to say about the, you know, healing powers of crystals. And I wonder if there's anything, the missing piece of, like, I'm curious what she thinks of, like, what are the properties of the crystals itself? I think that'd be really
I would love for her to talk to that as well. So I'm looking forward to the interview. So listen to that in our next episode.
All right. Bye, Abs.
Thanks again for joining us.
Check out our show notes to learn more about this episode and to find all the ways to follow us.
And remember, if you're curious, try it.